May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to your sight, O Lord. Amen. Have you ever prayed and then said, "That will never happen," or "Thy will be done," but deep, deep in your heart, you expect the worst possible solution to happen instead? If yes, welcome to the club. But before I continue with it, let me summarize just in a few words what we talked about during the last few Sundays' readings from Acts. We learned that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, the gospel spread first among the Jews, but after Peter's vision, also among the Gentiles. Some of you will remember the vision when God said to Peter, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat, and don't call anything impure or unclean that God has made clean." With it, Peter learned that the gospel is equally important for the Jews and for the Gentiles. And so Peter went to the house of Cornelius the Gentile and shared the good news with him and his house. In chapter 11, we learned that in Jerusalem, some Jews criticized Peter for eating and talking to the Gentiles, but Peter explained his vision, and they understood that with Jesus there is forgiveness of sins for everyone, and they praised God for that. But the situation, you know, more people converted to Christianity, and many believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, and they share the good news with others. But this didn't please everyone. It became more and more dangerous to be a Christian. We read that Stephen, one of the followers of Jesus, was killed, and many Christians suffered persecutions. Many were forced to leave their homes, and they traveled far from Jerusalem to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. But nothing could stop them from sharing the good news. So now we arrived at chapter 12. King Herod arrested some Christians, killed James, the brother of John, and when he saw that his action pleased some of the Jews, he had Peter arrested too. He did it during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this celebration lasts for several days. So Herod put Peter in prison with the intention of public trial after the Passover. In verse 5, we read that the church knew about earnestly praying for God, to God for Peter. Some other translation says that they prayed continually for Peter. It sounds to me like today's 24/7 prayers. So it seems like they must have prayed for a few days and nights already. I wonder if some of them complained and lamented that God is doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever thought, "I pray and pray and nothing happens"? Do you know this feeling? Or it is just me? In our instant society of today, we want an immediate response, don't we? I also wonder what the church was praying for Peter. He was in prison awaiting a trial. Everyone knew what happened to James just some time before. They knew what happened to Stephen and James. They must have been aware that Peter could be killed. Did they pray that God may change the heart of Herod? Or that Peter may not suffer, that he will have a quick death? Or did they pray that God will get Peter out of prison? We don't know what they prayed about. We just know that they prayed for him. But I will come back to that in just a few minutes. Now, I want us to concentrate on Peter. Let's think for a moment. Peter is in prison, awaiting a trial. He says to other soldiers, guarded the entrance to his cell. This is most probably the last night of his life. The next day will be most likely his last day on this earth. He knew this. It happened to his master. It happened to his friends. And what is Peter doing? What would you do? What would you think? Would you pray or cry? Would you be desperate or hopeful? I don't exactly know what I would do, but to be honest, I cannot imagine that I could sleep. Well, certainly not a deep and sound sleep like Peter did. It seems to me that he didn't worry. He didn't even pray. I don't know, but maybe he thought, I am a sinner. I have betrayed Jesus earlier, and I deserve the punishment. But perhaps he thought, I am forgiven. And God loves me, and he will find a solution to my problems. God will save me from Herod and from the Jews. It looks to me that whatever he's thinking, he was peaceful and put his trust in God. He believed that his Savior will do what's best for him. So Peter slept. And now, from verse 7, we learned about the unusual happening. I don't know how many of you remember dreams after waking up and are surprised that a vivid dream was only a dream. I often have such dreams, and what I read in verse 7 seems to me like a similar experience that Peter has had. During the night, an angel of the Lord appeared in the cell. He woke Peter up and asked him to put his clothes and shoes on. After the chains fell off, he was asked to follow the angel out. It must have felt so real, but Peter believed that this must be a vision from God. And we shouldn't be surprised that he felt that way, just about the cloth full of animals coming down from heaven. And God said, don't think about them, they are unclean. Whatever I cleaned is clean. So I wonder if Peter, while following the angel out, tried to figure out what this vision is supposed to mean. In verse 11, we read that after passing the guards and walking along the streets, the angel left him, and Peter realized that this was not a vision. We read that he came to himself. It feels almost like my reaction after I wake up and realize, oh, okay, it was just a dream. And here Peter said, oh, okay, it was not a dream. He said, the Lord sent his angel to rescue me. And then verse 12 says, when this had dawned on him, I think this is a very peculiar expression. It looks like Peter needed a few moments to collect himself. Kind of suddenly, he was standing in the middle of the night, in the middle of that town, alive and alone. Like he couldn't believe that this is not a dream, that he is truly rescued from prison. Which makes me think, did Peter consider before he went to sleep that night that God would rescue him? That God would free him from prison? That he could get a chance to escape death? Or had he prayed, God, thy will be done, I trust you, I'm peaceful, I know that you know what's best for me? But deep, deep in his heart and mind, he gave up the idea of a physical rescue. He seems to be surprised, like, oops, I am really free. After he realized that he is really free, he decided to go to Mary's house. And I really like what comes next. He arrived at the door and knocked. Knock, knock. It is dark and quiet outside. Perhaps he could hear the footsteps approaching the door and the voice asking, who is there? Peter said, it's me, Peter. Wow. The people had gathered to pray for Peter for many days and nights. The church cried out to the Lord for his servant Peter to be rescued. And now Peter was here. He was rescued. The servant maid Rhoda, who recognized Peter's voice, was so overwhelmed by joy, as we read in verse 14, that she left Peter standing in the front of the closed door. Hopefully it was not raining. And ran back to tell the others that Peter was standing outside on the street. Wow. Think about for a moment. Your favorite auntie, who lives far, far away, comes to see you. Lately, she has been very ill, and you didn't expect to see her. But she arrives, and she rings the doorbell. Wife or your husband sees her standing outside and runs back into the kitchen to tell you that your auntie has just arrived. And instead of running to open the door for her and greet her, you start arguing that it is not possible because the last time you spoke to her, she was too ill to travel. Can you picture that? We read that the church was praying for Peter. Prayed for him continually for several days. And when Rhoda enters the room telling them that Peter was outside, what do? Do they run to open the doors? No, they argued that this is not possible. They don't go to the door to see if she spoke the truth. No. They call her a liar and crazy. You are out of your mind, as we read in verse 15. But Rhoda insists. I know it's him. By the way, all this time, Peter is still standing outside. It must be his angel, they said. Peter must have lost his patience because we read that he started repetitively to knock at the door. And finally, someone made a decision to open the door and let Peter in. But did he say, "Praise the Lord, Peter is here"? No, they were astonished to see him. What a statement. The people gathered to pray for Peter. The church prayed day and night for him. And we know they prayed for several days. So I wonder, why were they astonished? My friend from India told me a story. In a town of Tamil Nadu, in the south part of India, there was a church. They were very lovely people, a lively, very much praying congregation. But one time, a rich man bought a plot of land just in opposite from the church and established there a bar. The church was very upset with it because there were many drunk people daily at the steps of the lovely church. The elder spoke to the owner about the situation, but due to it being his business, which earned his living, he didn't want to do any changes. So the congregation prayed to God to solve their problem. And one day, a heavy storm occurred, causing massive floods. The water ran through the city to the streets of Tamil Nadu and flooded the bar. The bar was completely destroyed. After everything calmed down, the owner of the bar put claim from the church saying that he blames the congregation for the bar being destroyed. He believed that they had must prayed for that to happen and that their God had answered the prayers. What do you think the church's response was? They said, "We have nothing to do with it." The bar owner clearly was not a Christian man, but he believed that God, because the church prayed for it. And the church, although they did pray for God to bring a solution to it, argued against it. In today's story, we learn that the church prayed for Peter, but when he was rescued, they could not believe that it had happened, that God answered their prayers. Dear congregation, do you pray? And if yes, how do you pray? Do you believe deep in your heart that God can do everything? Do you believe that God can make miracles? Or are you not ready for God's answers? Instead of expecting God to bring the best solution for you, do you expect no answers or worse solution? Instead of hoping for the best and the unexpected and the most incredible intervention from the Lord? Do you doubt him? Or do you trust him? Peter was surprised. The church was even more surprised. And I was surprised many times how God answered my prayers. God has his own agenda. He has his own time and ways in answering prayers. But the chapter 12 shows us that we are not any different from Peter or early Christians. At the same time, this chapter encourages us to pray with faith. So let us pray and have faith and be prepared for the most unexpected solutions to our prayers.
Amen.